You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show, Outsmart Emotional Eating. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you break free from binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating. And we do that by focusing on what's eating at you instead of on what you are eating. So let me ask you something. Do you ever feel hopeless about changing your relationship with food? Are you at a point where you don't even know what to eat? Maybe you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to trigger a binge by depriving yourself. Well, you are not alone. And my guest today, Nikki Sharp, has been where you are. She overcame two eating disorders and is now dedicating her life to empowering others to live their healthiest and happiest life. Let me tell you about Nikki. She is a former international model turned health advocate. She's a two-time best-selling author and a transformational coach to more than 500,000 people around the world. Two of Nikki's best-selling books are The 5-Day Real Food Detox, I have it right here, and Meal Prep Your Way to Weight Loss. Her approach is insightful, informative, and relatable, making complex concepts and practical strategies accessible to everyone. And today, she is bringing her experience and her wisdom to us. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. What an intro. I, with love, accept all of the kind words. Thank you.
Well, they're all true. I only speak the truth here on the Dr. Nina Show.
Well, I appreciate you, and I'm very much looking forward to diving into all the things and really sharing about this topic, because I think it's something that affects everyone, whether you know someone's going through an actual eating disorder or you're just you have a fear of food. I think our conversation is going to shed a lot of light for people on how to help themselves to feel better immediately.
Yeah. Oh, immediately is good. Right. You can feel better immediately in some small ways that lead to feeling better overall and really being able to wake up and think about your day, not your diet.
Absolutely.
So tell us about your journey to becoming this transformational coach. I know you overcame the eating disorders. Tell us about that.
Sure. So my journey is, I would say, not unlike many people out there, where I didn't really, at least from my side, I didn't have food challenges necessarily growing up. I realized in hindsight that I started dieting at quite a young age because my dad would do diets and it was a way for me and him to bond. And so that was something just looking at to see, you know, how that affected my own life and my understanding of food, because it really was that way to feel connected with my father. And so then going on later in I was in college and I started I was in high school. I started modeling. Everything was fine. And when I say I was modeling, I was not someone that was scouted by any means. I wasn't, you know, picked out of the shopping center. I really actively wanted to do this. And when I went to LA, I did an exchange program in my junior year of college. And I remember seeing a photo of myself on the beach, and I hated the way that I looked. I was what you would call skinny fat. I was working out, but I wasn't worrying about the food that I was eating. I had a fabulous summer with friends. And that really set off being in a new environment where I didn't feel necessarily accepted because I didn't know anyone. And it was just a very strange experience for me. So between that and the need to get skinny for modeling, which there is a reality to it that you do need to look a certain way. I went on an incredibly strict diet with no end goal. So it wasn't like I'm going to go on this strict diet and stop that in a few weeks. It became my kind of everyday living for a year. So I lost a ton of weight, and I'll skim over a lot of this, but I share that because that was really the defining moment. And when I went back to Colorado, where I'm from, I gained back weight, food issues went away fully. And that was a pattern that repeated itself throughout my life, that I would go to a new country or a new place. I would try something new and I would start eating a lot less, trying to control things with my body and how I looked. And because a lot of the modeling world is external validation. And at that time, as a child, I didn't know what the internal validation was that I needed or I seeked. And so I ended up modeling in multiple countries, which was an incredible experience, and I wouldn't take that back. At the same time, it was very challenging because of the need of control, especially when you control the modeling industry. And so I did end up learning about nutrition, which was amazing. And throughout my journey, I got to be really skinny. And there was one defining moment when I was in South Korea where they said, "We like you being as skinny as you are, but can you gain weight in certain areas of your body?" And my mind took that as, okay, great, go gain some weight, because they did want me to gain a few pounds. And that's where the binging really, really started. And one thing I learned is that as I moved more west across the globe, I would binge more because food was more prevalent. Like, it was easier to have access to, you know, the grocery store, the convenience store that was open 24 hours a day versus like South Korea, things shut at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. And so as I kind of moved west and I was binging more, then I was also having more of the binge restrict, and I was becoming more aware of foods I was eating. So I was trying to juice at that point, but then I would be so hungry because I was juicing because of my binge the night before that later that night, I would then go binge again because my body was physically hungry. And so it took me, I mean, I would say a good 13 years to fully, completely get over both of my eating disorders. And it's not a journey that I would wish on anyone, but I'm personally grateful that I went through it so that I get to teach what I do now, and that healing is absolutely possible. And as we were talking about off stage, I'm very vulnerable in my first and second book, actually, on everything that I've done. And I'm vulnerable with my community just so that everyone understands that wherever you are, there is hope. So I'd say that's the very shortest version I could make of the story.
And no need to make it short. I mean, what you're talking about is really the classical diet binge cycle, that yes, deprivation leads to binging, but also the deprivation that you were aware of maybe in aspects of your life. And of course, it's very reflective of you to realize that dieting created a bond between you and your father. And that's why it's not logical, it's psychological, right? It's about so much more than just food. The motivations we have are often so much more outside of our conscious awareness.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on that. And it's been, I actually just did a podcast episode on my own podcast where I went over my full eating disorders and the journey that I took. And it was so interesting to really look back and be able to share it with so much vulnerability of any time that I was back in Colorado or I was with family or with friends, I wasn't restricting. And it was in moments where I felt lost or out of control or lonely that I would start to restrict a lot more. And so understanding that really led me later in life, towards the end of the journey, I would say led me in life to really focus on community and friends, which became such a healing notion for myself in that journey.
And it's so powerful to understand that the loneliness or the lack of connection or friends in these countries where you were, when you were not with your friends, you were not with your family, that then you took mastery over that by denying yourself food. So it's interesting. It's sad. It's poignant. It's powerful. But it's so interesting when you really see what are the psychological underpinnings to those choices. And then when you know what those are, you can create change. The problem is not food, right? The problem is something, all the things.
Couldn't agree more on that. And that was something that I thought for so many years. I thought the problem was food. And I thought the problem was that I needed to eat different foods or restrict foods or change the way that I was doing everything related to food. My relationship with food was incredibly unhealthy. I didn't know it at the time. I mean, let me rephrase it. I knew it. I think any time that you're in a state where you're binging, restricting, purging, or obsessively thinking about food, which I was definitely obsessively thinking about the meals that I couldn't eat or what I was going to eat at the next meal. And so through all of that, it really, you know, it took over the mind. But one thing I want to I guess make clear, while my journey is different in the sense that, yes, I traveled the world and I lived in all of these different countries, so it was these big, grandiose changes, I still felt as lonely when I was living in LA and I didn't know anyone. And I was still in my binge and restrict cycle. So I think it's relevant for anyone who is feeling that loneliness in their life, wherever you are now, because it's not just about the travel or the this. I actually learned that travel was something that made me feel so connected to other people. So I became almost just as addicted to the travel, because that's when I felt free. That's when the food issues would kind of go away, when I was seeking, you know, conversations. And so it's really looking into your own life here today and seeing, are you isolating yourself from people because you don't like the way you look? And I know I did that for many years. Are you choosing to not go out because you can't eat the foods that you think are going to be on the menu? So by very nature, we tend to isolate and restrict ourselves from the very human connection we need that will heal us on the journey.
And then food, which represents people, becomes the substitute.
Yes.
So what are some of the other biggest misconceptions that you see about binge eating disorder?
Oh, that you're going to feel better when you eat. I think it's the, you know, we all have pain and pleasure in our life. And when you're in pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain or something that you don't want to admit, that you just don't feel good, the human mind, and you know, you and I, Dr. Nina, could go on this all day long, that the human mind will go into seeking pleasure. And so with binging, it's eating this food will give me pleasure and make me feel better. And while that is true temporarily, it then adds more pain on the tail end of it, because it's a temporary pleasure, and temporary anything never lasts. And so, you know, you're consistently seeking, and then you feel worse about yourself. And so it's this kind of nasty cycle that starts to happen, where instead of getting clear on like, what is it that you're actually missing in your life, whether it's that connection or purpose, it's let me find that pleasure. And then the very pleasure you have turns into more pain later on. And I did not know that for years that I was doing that. I just knew that the food was making me feel good, and then I would hate myself even more afterwards. So that's, I would say that's a really big misconception, that just because the food tastes good now, or you think it will be nice, you know, to stay at home. I would say the other thing, and it's not necessarily about binging per se, but what we eat in private, we wear in public. And that was something that really resonated with me, because we tend to binge in private, right? We don't tend to go out with friends and just eat all the things in front of us. And at least the more you're connected with people and present in that moment, you don't. But it's what we eat in private, we wear in public. And so in public, I didn't like my body, but I wasn't really willing to look at what I was doing in private.
And then that shame of feeling, like you said, you hated yourself. And then we also end up binging just to get away from our own mean voice. Yes. So it's a vicious, horrible cycle. And then of course, it's the eating in public, and you eat the salad and you order the salmon with the no rice, just vegetables. And then you go home and you eat the pizza, right? Like, you know.
Yes. I mean, that's something I would always laugh. Like when I was younger, I would go to McDonald's and I would get the double burger or something and fries, and I would get a Diet Coke, right? Because God forbid that I get the Coke that has sugar, even though I'm eating all the other things. And I actually remember the last time I ever binged on fast food. And it was such an intense moment for me, where I went to McDonald's and I was living in New York at this time, very lonely. And I had to admit, I was like, I'm going to binge. I know I'm going to binge. So just go get the thing you want. And instead of going to Taco Bell, which is what I actually really wanted, I went to McDonald's and I ordered something. And I remember watching this guy, and I don't say this to shame anyone, this was just really relevant for me, but a very overweight man who was like sweating and literally threw the burger together. And I said, no onions, threw it together. And something clicked in my mind where I was like, this food was not made with any love. And I was like, that's it. It was the first time that I'd thought about that. And I'm like, that's interesting, huh? And it took me a few years to really like resonate and marinate on that concept. So that day I ate like half of it and the fries, I threw it away. I went across the street two Taco Bell. I got all the things, ate those, and I felt so awful. But there was some, like, a light switch that went off at the same time. And that was the last time that I ever ate McDonald's or Taco Bell. And not because I haven't allowed myself. It was just, that was what I needed to realize, that I'm going to sometimes, and I don't binge now, but in that moment, it was like, I'm going to binge. And I actually wrote a whole chapter on this in my second book. It's called The Beautiful Binge, which we can go into. But I realized, if I'm going to do this, I'd rather have something that was at least made with some essence of that person's love, rather than it just being, you know, thrown together. And that was a huge catalyst moment for me to really check in and just not judge myself on the binge, but get clear on, like, fine, eat the food, but change the meaning or what you're eating based on this one key thing.
It sounds like quite an epiphany. And you really, you realize that what you wanted was not whatever burger at McDonald's or whatever at Taco Bell. You wanted something loving and nourishing, right? Because food equals relationship, food equals comfort. Food is really about a wish to be comforted, or
yes,
to, we talk about having fulfilling relationships, right? Or satisfying. We talk about relationships the same way we talk about food. So your wish was that you actually wanted to nourish and nurture yourself with food instead of with, you know, yucky, big sweating guy making you a burger.
Yeah.
and I would add in.
I would add to that, it wasn't clear in that moment. You know, this is all retrospective, hindsight 2020, where now I know these things and we can have this amazing conversation. At the time, I didn't realize that that was such a big aha catalytic moment. And I just made decisions based on that. And so I still would go binge a few years later, but I really changed the way in which I was doing it. So it morphed and evolved. So now I was getting things, let's say, from the grocery store instead of from the fast food place. And then I was going to, like, now today, another big catalytic moment I would say is I stopped saying the word binge, and I just started saying, I'm eating dinner right now. I'm eating pizza and I'm just overeating dinner. And that was a really big thing for me, because by changing the meaning I had behind it, it was like, okay, well, I overate. So it took away a lot of the judgment. Now, in today's day and age, as I've mentioned, I no longer binge. One, because I don't ever binge. I overeat sometimes, sure. But I allow myself to eat whatever it is that I want. So I'm very cognizant and present, where I'll check in, and, like, I go to New York quite often now, not super often, but, like, every few months, and I stay at this one hotel where they have the most incredible burger, and I look forward to it, and I order it in room service, and I put my robe on, and I have my glass of wine, and it's such a beautiful experience now that I feel zero guilt about a thing that in my past I would have beat myself up for. And because I'm not beating myself up for it now, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it because I'm happy with myself and my own company at that point, I don't go on this sabotaging spiral that I think so many people know very well.
And that is a very good example of how, when you give yourself permission to eat anything, you have this sense of choice, and taking away that good food, bad food, which becomes good me, bad me. Oh, I feel good about myself because I ate Sprouts salad or whatever. And I feel bad about myself because I ate the cookie. And then if you feel bad about yourself, you can't then also feel good about yourself. So you end up eating over it, and it becomes a vicious cycle. And what I really appreciate about your story and your method and your books is you also help people figure out what to eat and how to eat. And I just want to take a moment to say that if there's anyone on Instagram who has a question for Nikki, drop it in the comment box and we'll get to that. If you're watching on Facebook, unfortunately, I can't see you. So you can either hop on Instagram or that's what we'll do. We won't call the show today. So so tell us more about how do you figure out what to eat if you've been in a toxic relationship with food for years?
Oh, I, I'll answer the question. And I also just really want to acknowledge what you said, the toxic relationship with food. And that was something that even, and this is kind of related, unrelated to food, where I was in a really toxic relationship with an ex. It was on and off for 6 years. And I could never quite figure out why I kept going back to this relationship. And one of those big aha moments, I also love calling them aha moments, because it's kind of like, oh, the light bulb went off. And it can be as big or small as it needs to be in that moment. But what I realized was that no wonder I was going back to this relationship, because it was a mirror of the relationship I had with myself, which was toxic, because it was this, you know, you're good, you're bad, you're a failure if you do this, and all the things there. And so I just wanted to really, I resonate very much that you say the toxic relationship with food, because it can also play out into other areas of our life and become that mirror of what needs to change and heal. So with that, the question, sorry, I realized my tangent made me forget the question. It was about finding out what we need to eat.
All tangents are okay. Good. There's no such thing as tangent. We're not on a train track, right? We stop, we look around.
Of course.
Like, it had to be said. And you're totally right that our relationship with food is actually the solution to some other problem. Like, we think it's the problem, but no, it's the solution to the problem, or it reflects the problem, but it is not the problem, right? Which, you know, when you recognize what the problem is, oh, your mean relationship with yourself, where then someone who talks to you the way you talk to yourself sounds awfully familiar. Let's be together. And as soon as your relationship with yourself changes, someone's awful to you, it's no, thank you, get out of my life.
Completely, completely agree. And I'm very good at tangenting and coming back, but I did want to speak on that, because I do feel like I work with so many clients who have toxic relationships, or uneasy, let's just even say uneasy relationships with a partner, with a parent, with anyone in their life, with a coworker. And it's just, I always say it's such an invitation to look back to you and really check in of how are you talking to yourself? Because that's just a mirror of the things you do for you, to you, by you.
Exactly. And when you talk to yourself in a critical, harsh way, guess what? You want to escape yourself. Eating puts you in a zone where you're not with yourself momentarily until the harshness comes back. So what I had asked was, let's say people have addressed a lot of their underlying conflicts. They're starting to be nicer to themselves. They're recognizing that they need to develop an appetite for life instead of having food be their fun or their comfort or their, you know, symbolically filling the void or whatever it is that they're doing. But then they say, oh my gosh, I've been dieting my whole life, or since I was 12 or 18 or whatever. I have no idea how to eat or what to eat. Right. Help.
Yes, of course. And I created the detox program, and I'll talk about both of these, because I don't want anyone to really take the word detox. I know there's so many negative connotations with it. I wrote the 5-day detox in one of my lowest points in life. And I remember I'd learned various things about nutrition at this point, done quite a few certifications. And I remember it was during Christmas, and I'm like, I don't want to diet, because I know myself, if I diet, I'm going to go, you know, the binge restrict, all the things. And I thought about, what do I really want to feel? And I think that's something key for people, anyone who has some sort of challenge with food or their body, start to think about, how do you want to feel with the food that you eat? And so for me, I was like, I want to feel clear and energized, and I want to have clean skin, and I want to feel like I'm sleeping better. And so because of that, I was like, okay, well, why don't I do a detox versus a diet? And so then I wrote this program looking at others. There was almost nothing on the market. This was 2013, before so many of these became popular. And I knew, based on my own restrictive nature, I'm like, I don't want to be starving myself. I'm not doing a juice cleanse. I'm not doing a smoothie cleanse. So I wrote a program that was 5 meals a day for 5 days. And I was like, I can do this Monday through Friday. That's like, I can really do that and commit to it. And what's cool is, in 5 days, you tremendously can change your life. And people that do the program, their cravings go away. And you and I both know the power of food, but the very essence of it was, as I wrote this program for me, which was never meant to go public, it literally, I like wrote this on a little, you know, sheet of paper, and I wrote down the meals that I wanted to be eating. And as I did that, I knew based on my own studies that I needed to incorporate good carbs, what we're going to call carbs, which also have fiber. And something like I love about black beans is that they have the protein to fiber ratio. They're the only food on the planet that has that, 15 grams of protein to 15 grams of fiber, which your body needs both of those to be strong and healthy and also, you know, pass through waste in your body. And so at the time I was terrified of quote unquote carbs. And I was like, oh my God, there's no way that I can do this. But it was writing this program was the healing factor I needed for me. And so I just shared it on Instagram and I said, hey, you know, I wrote this thing. Do you want it? I think I had like 5,000 followers at the time. They said yes. And so I turned it into an ebook. And the reason I share that is because the program itself, as mentioned, was never meant to be this big, grandiose number one app, number one book. I ended up selling 100,000 copies of the ebook. And the reason that it did so well is because the plan works for anyone, no matter what sort of food challenges you have, no matter how you feel about your body. I mean, it's not about weight loss for, I think, you and I, but there are people who do want to lose weight. And I get very frustrated that in today's society, people don't feel safe to say that I want to lose weight. And so, yes, men can lose up to 13 pounds in 5 days, women can lose up to 10 pounds. And for someone who needs to lose that, it's really about reducing the inflammation in their body. And so you do feel amazing and you get clear skin, you sleep incredible. And we know the power of sleep. And when you're sleeping well, your body starts to heal and function properly. And I know in my binging days, I was not sleeping. So no wonder I'm craving all of the sugars because of the way that it's digested in your body. It gives you energy. So the 5-day plan is the best thing I say for anyone to do, especially if you have a fear of food and a fear of carbs, because it includes fats and healthy fats. It includes healthy carbs. But what you see is that by eating the foods that have been, you know, off limits and restricted, you actually feel better. You look better. Your body responds tremendously. As we're recording this right now or doing this interview, I'm actually doing my detox. Now, I just increase the portions because I don't want to lose weight, but I do it because, coming back to that, I want to feel better. And so every single recipe that I've ever written, and I've written hundreds of them, it's all about how can you incorporate nutrient-dense, colorful foods, and that's the basis of everything. Count colors, not calories. And by doing that and counting lots of colors, your body naturally reduces cravings. You naturally have more energy. You naturally, your skin clears up. You reduce inflammation. And all of these things, you haven't even had to think about the word, quote unquote, diet or any of that. So that, I would say that's kind of the baseline of the principles that I teach. I'm happy to go specifically into the meals themselves if you'd like, or anything else.
Well, I just want, now here's a tangent backwards. We're stopping the train. We're moving backwards.
I love it.
I really appreciate what you said about it's okay to want to lose weight. Recently, one of my books, The Binge Cure, was reviewed, and the reviewer was like, what kind of an eating disorder therapist talks about weight loss? Well, yeah. a one who lives in the real world where people actually do, some people who binge eat, you cannot tell. You cannot tell from how they look. Not everyone who binges is overweight, but some are, and they want to lose weight, and it is okay to want to lose weight. It is not shameful, because then people feel bad. Not just they feel bad that they can't lose weight, they feel bad because they can't have a positive attitude towards their bodies as they are. So now they feel doubly terrible, right, which leads them to turn to food for comfort. So right. I just appreciate that. And what I appreciate about your food plans, for want of a better word, is that it's about enjoying eating. It's about enjoying good foods. It's about balance. It's not eat this, but not that.
Right.
It's eat healthy, whole foods and learn. And that's how you learn to be, I know you don't like the word, or you don't use the word intuitive. What, remind me the word you use.
It's interesting. It was actually a client or during one of my coaching calls with a group that she said, and it's funny because it's new to me, which is why it's not sticking as much. It was intentional eating. And I actually, we had a big discussion about this and we all agreed that intentional versus intuitive, it's so hard to be intuitive if you've never been intuitive. If you don't know what your body likes, like I remember I had one client and I was asking her, does your body do better with chicken or fish? Okay, you know, fish or black beans or, you know, plant-based things. And she's like, honestly, I don't know. It had been so many years that she knew what actually felt good in her body. And so we changed it and it really became more of that intentional eating. And that's something that I think is such a good concept for people to resonate with, that if you have no connection to your body, like what does intuitive mean, eating mean? You need to be in tune with you. And if you're not in tune with you, you cannot have intuitive eating. It's a learned process. So instead, can you become intentional and more mindful? And a little hack that I give people, and I still use this today myself, and it was another one of those big catalyst things that helped shift the way that I eat. I allow myself to eat anything that I want, anything at all. There's nothing off limits. And I just ask myself, will this meal, and it's become, I would say, so ingrained that I don't actually ask it, but in the beginning, I would say, will this meal make me feel light and energetic? Like I want to just dance and play and I feel good. Or will the meal make me feel heavy and full? And so, you know, my burger that I was mentioning that I love, there are times where it does make me feel heavy and full if I eat it with the fries, but because I've done it intentionally, it's fine. It doesn't bother me. I don't go into sabotage. And there's other times where I eat it and I feel honestly light as a feather at the end of it. And people are, you know, wonder, how can that be that you feel good after eating that food? And I'm like, because it was intentional. I chose to eat this. And actually that's where A Beautiful Binge came up for my second book.
Well, now we have to hear more about that. A Beautiful Binge. Yes. Tell us more.
So the Beautiful Binge was, and everything that I teach, I've been my own best and worst client. I don't share anything with anyone else unless I've tried and tested it on myself and I know that it works. And I say that because so many of these things, I never meant to teach them, but once I realized the power, then I start teaching them and I see the power with clients and with the community. So Beautiful Binge actually happened when I was living in LA, going through my binge restrict cycles. And I had that moment where I'm like, I know I'm going to binge today. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And I'm like, okay, it's fine. I'm going to overeat dinner. I'm going to binge, whatever we're calling it. And I checked in and I got present, right? So that intentional. And I was like, all right, Nikki, you are allowed to eat whatever you want today with one caveat that you need to check in and say, what is it that you want? So you're not going to the cupboard and grabbing the crackers and then going back and having this and then ordering the pizza and then, you know, the cookies. It was, what will fulfill me right now? And so it was like, this one pizza place on Abbott Kinney, they did these huge New York style slices. I got three of them and I went home and I put them in the oven one by one. So I'd eat one, heat it up. I had a knife and a fork. I poured a glass of wine. I lit a candle. I watched my favorite movie. And suddenly the binge was no longer a binge. It was a really pleasurable experience. And so I kept doing this and going with it where anytime I wanted something, I really checked in to see like, what do I want? And I remember with my ex, this was another big moment where I had a really stressful day. We'd come out of a meeting and I said, I'm going to binge. I'm just letting you know. And that was being vulnerable because I think part of the healing journey is getting vulnerable, one, with yourself and two, with those in your life so that they can support you. And so I said this to him and he's like, oh, okay, like, what do? I don't know. I was like, I want to go to Whole Foods and I want to be able to pick out whatever I want. He's like, oh, okay. Right. He's like trying his best to show up. And through this, we went and got all of these different things because I love like the Meze Mediterranean where you like take little nibbles on different things. Went home, plated all the nice cheese and crackers, I ended up cooking some stuff. And suddenly the binge was no longer the binge because there was intentionality to it. And I also had exactly what I wanted, which was this beautiful kind of European style meal. And so that's what a beautiful binge is. It's allowing yourself to binge fully, completely unfiltered with no, you know, you should, shouldn't be doing this. Getting clear, checking in, saying, okay, great. I give you permission to do this. So what is it that you want? Like as if you're talking to a child, what do you want for lunch today? And then when the answer comes, and if you don't get clear, it's like you stay there until you get clear. What do I actually want? And then you have the thing and you have the thing and you make the space as beautiful and calming as possible. And what I later learned is that by doing that, I was calming my sympathetic nervous system. So I was dropping into the parasympathetic rest and digest. So no wonder when I eat this burger now, I don't get bloated because I'm in that fully rest digest. And that's part of the beautiful binge, making it a beautiful experience by lighting the candles, doing some incense, putting some nice lights on, whatever that might be for you. And I always say to use a knife and fork, because I think so often we binge with our hands, but when you slow down and use a knife and fork, even on the pizza, even on the burger, one, it slows you down. It makes you more intentional. But two, that's like if you go to a restaurant, you're not going to sit there eating with your hands. So it's kind of bringing the restaurant to you, but doing it for you, by you. And it was a really, really prevalent moment. And I know it's also helped a lot of people who have read the second book.
And what you're describing is eating, actually eating for pleasure, figuring out what it is you want and eating that food, because that is just going to be really yummy. My only food rule is it has to be yummy. And when you're doing that, you're not eating in a frenzied way to fill an emotional void or distract from something uncomfortable or any of those emotional things. You're actually just enjoying food.
Yes.
Which is what it's supposed to be.
Totally. Right? You know, like I look back on my journey and I know when you're in the heat of it or in the thick of it, when you hate your body or you have a really negative relationship with yourself, with food, you're scared of certain things. Like I have clients now who still over exercise because it's so hard to let go of that. And exercise was a whole nother thing we can talk about, because it's, you know, changing your relationship with food is not always just about the food. And, you know, through all of these different things, I look back and I'm like, I am so grateful that I went through this, as traumatic as it was and as hard as it was. One, I love that I get to teach this and help other people so that you don't have the journey that, you know, Dr. Nina, you and I had. But two, the joy that I have around food now is exponential. And I love cooking. I'm a vegan. I'm not vegan, but I am a certified vegan chef. I've written, you know, hundreds of recipes. I get to help people too with that. And I'm like, food is pleasure. And when I'm in a pleasure filled state, it affects me differently, which is why, you know, dropping into that parasympathetic and that calm state. So just as you're saying, it's like, eating things for joy has literally been the best thing. But I personally had to go through that journey of being terrified of food and hating food to get to here. Because where I'm at now, I'm like, man, it's if I had to go through all of that to be here and feel this, I would do it all over again, because this is amazing. And so there is hope for anyone going through any of this. And I, like you and I are living, breathing proof that it works if you're willing to do the work.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you can relate to this. There was a time when my last thought at night was I good? Counting calories, knowing exactly how many calories, carbs, fat grams, et cetera. I don't think I counted protein. But, and waking up going, am I going to be good today? Am I going to get on the scale? And is it going to register lost weight or gain weight? And if I gain weight, oh, my day is already ruined, so I might as well eat whatever.
Right.
And there would have been a time, and I'm sure you can relate, that I could never imagine just getting up and thinking about, what am I going to do today? What do I have to look forward? What's on the agenda? What am I going to do? And now I don't even think. Really? That's how I think. And it would have, I thought it was impossible, but it is possible. We are here, both of us. we are living proof.
And yeah. And I wanted to show something quickly. So on my, I know you have my first one, my second book here, Meal Prep Your Way to Weight Loss. Just a quick photo. So these are the snacks that you get to eat. It's a 28-day plan. And I share this because there's something that, you know, those who are watching this, what do you notice, Dr. Nina, about this? About all of these different
things. It's very colorful.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different types of foods. And there are maybe some foods that people would think they couldn't have.
Exactly. And so, you know, for those listening, there's popcorn, there's roasted chickpeas, there's guacamole, two types of hummus, or there's like a baba ganoush, a hummus, there's nuts and seeds, a really beautiful trail mix, there's spring rolls, there's beet chips, there's melon wedges, there's another type of popcorn with drizzled chocolate on it, right? That's a snack on my program. But as you said, it's very colorful. So that's the number one thing that I tell people. Count colors on your plate and naturally you'll start to feel better. Instead of thinking, eat this, don't eat this, just can you put three colors on your plate? Starting with one meal a day, three colors. Great. If you do that, go to two meals a day with those three colors. And as you feel better, it becomes easier to start to tackle the inner stuff, right? The inner stuff that you and I have been talking about of what's going on with my relationships with other people, with myself, and what am I seeking in my life? Where am I trying to find fulfillment? So I really just advocate so much for colorful foods. And you can see it here too, kind of. It's, I know my camera is a little blurry, but it's all very colorful. And that's because colors in nature, like if you think about a summer day or a spring day, the colors in nature are vibrant. They're alive. Literally vitality is in nature. And so our eyes are already built to look for colors, and colorful things make us feel good. It's as simple as that. So breaking all of these big concepts down to make it as simple as possible.
I love it. And also what you're saying is, hey, eat more of these good foods, because when you're dieting, you're restricted, you're only eating this, but not that. Maybe you're hungry all the time, or you know, dieting is dieting, it's deprivation. And a lot of people are so afraid to stop dieting because they don't know how to eat. And they're afraid if they let themselves have what they want, that they're just going to want pizza and ice cream and cookies and all of these things. And they don't really have an idea that there are delicious whole foods, such as what you talk about in your books.
Yeah. You know, and one thing I realized too, along the journey, was I made a deal with myself, and I said, I can eat anything. And this was different to where I am now, but I said, I will allow myself to eat any single thing that I want as long as I make it. Cheesecake, sure. But you got to make it. And you become much more mindful when you're doing it yourself. And so I would still end up doing it for recipes and posting and then binging on the whole raw vegan cheesecake. So that was a journey of itself. But it affected me in a less negative way because I had been very conscious of what I was doing. And I want to just really quickly, because I know, you know, I don't know where the time went. My goodness.
Well, we still have 8 minutes.
Really quickly on this, another thing that I did, which was changing the thought pattern about exercise as relating to food. I was someone, and I think so many can relate, where I would exercise because I didn't like my body. And I would exercise if I overate or I felt bad that I'd eaten something. So essentially exercise became the punishment for something I was already punishing myself for. So I switched the way that I thought about, and this, it was not overnight, but, and it was very tough to do in the beginning, but it's so ingrained now because it's neuroplasticity. We're creating new neural pathways on behaviors and habits and patterns. So with this, I would only exercise if I ate well that day and I felt good. And most people will be like, wait, but like, why would I do that? Because I'm already feeling good. But you're taking it, and exercise becomes the reward, which makes you feel better on top of already feeling good instead of the punishment. And that's why so many people are not seeing the results they want, is because exercise is the punishment when you're already beating yourself up. So cortisol is just running rampant, and then you're never going to see what you actually want. So that was just another little hack that I did that has worked for me and a lot of clients.
I love that. That's wonderful. And it also speaks to, again, encouraging yourself. hey, I get to exercise because I feel good, so I get to exercise, rather than, oh, I ate a brownie, now I have to exercise.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, on that, and the other thing too is anytime you say I should do this, I have to, I need to, you're already setting yourself up for failure because there's an expectation with it versus I get to, I want to, I choose to, because at the end of the day, no one needs to do anything. It's all choices that we make.
So what would you say to someone who says, okay, I've been dieting for 30 years, I'm ready to stop, but where do I start? How do I do this food prep if it takes too much time? That's what I hear a lot. It takes too much time to do this for me, as they're doing everything for everybody else.
Oh, but. Of course. And that's the key, right? It's always giving energy to other people. So two things on that. I ask people to first check in and see what's the kind of the catalyst for the binge. Because if you've been binging for so long, like I'll give you a really quick example. I had a client in 4 months, she has lost 60 kilos. And someone might say, how is that possible? But she was 280 pounds. And so it's literally weight is falling off. And the number one thing that she did was she deleted the Starbucks app from her phone, because that's what she was going and doing every single day when those thoughts would kick in. By doing that, it was slow at first, but then we started tackling all the inner works of the mind. And I ask people to get clear on what is the thing, that catalyst that you binge. Is it when you're at home and you're lonely, or you come home from work and you're really tired? So now you know that that's going to be the one moment of, because we all have that one moment that's more likely for us to binge or overeat or whatever it might be. And so really getting clear on that, because that's where you want to shift really all the intention and attention. So I'd say that's number one. And number two is start super small. If someone tells me like, I cannot meal prep for 5 days, five meals a day, I'm like, great, choose one meal a day. Choose the one meal that you know will make it set you up for success. For a lot of people, that's breakfast. So that would be, you know, meal prepping so that I have smoothies ready to go in my fridge. Or maybe it's even ordering from like Daily Harvest or one of these companies where they deliver. So it's not you're getting every meal. It's you choose one that's typically the one that you have the hardest trouble with. That's where I say always to start with one single meal.
Right. Yeah, that's great advice, because one is doable. And like you said, on the 5 day detox, which is, you know, you wrote it a while back before detox took on some of the meaning that it has now. Guys, it's a good detox. And it's not a diet. But really you talk about just all the, you could do anything. You'd have five meals a day for 5 days. You could do anything for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. You can do that. And to encourage yourself to just do what you can do.
Totally
encouraging.
And I was just going to say, too, like I have in myself, I've done the detox so many times now since 2013, that there are times where I do it and I still drink coffee. And I'm like, you know what, if I'm still doing the detox, and that's the worst thing I'm doing, or there's been times where I know that I have a few outings that week, I'm like, doing the detox and still going out to dinner, okay, well, I'm still setting myself up for success. Even if you do it 50%, I say that's better than not doing it at all. And there's I can't remember which one it was specifically. It was, the Whole 30. When that came out, I was reading the book and I could not disagree more with their standpoint on this one thing where they said there was a, you know, FAQ. And one of the questions was, what if I get through, you know, 20 days of this and then I mess up, what should I do? And they did say, you know, you could continue doing it, but we really encourage you to go back and start from scratch. And for me, I'm like, absolutely not. That is going to propel you into further thinking of the, I'm on it, I'm off it. So when someone comes to me and they are on the detox and then they had a whole binge meal, I'm like, great, just get back on the detox tomorrow. But it is what it is. And that way you start to take away that negative pattern. But I really disagree with any of this thinking, which is, you know, you need to do something intensely hardcore for that many days. And if you mess up, you're a failure, start again, because that's it. just is not going to work. And it hasn't worked for pretty much anyone for lifelong success.
Right. It just makes you feel guilty, makes you feel shame. And it's not true. You know, it's not about you're either perfect or you have to start over again. It's you're doing the best you can do. And I think that your message of encouragement and moderation and possibility really comes through everything that you write and everything that you do.
Thank you.
So looking ahead, are there any new projects? What do you have upcoming?
Oh, I mean, I've been working on my podcast for a year now. I love it. It's definitely a passion project. And I've share very vulnerably. That's called A Sharper Life. And at some point I'm going to write another book, a third book, and more about, the way I preface it is it's Sex in the City meets, it's Eckhart Tolle meets Sex in the City with a sprinkle of, I'm forgetting the other one, but it's like a very fun kind of soul spiritual, that would be more of a Eat, Pray, Love. So it's Eat, Pray, Love meets Eckhart Tolle with a sprinkle of Sex in the City. So I'll write that. And my program, the Ultimate Transformation Program, which will launch in September. And that one is just my absolute favorite because I get to teach people everything that I know about how to transform your life literally in all areas. So those are the big ones.
You're very busy, and you're very busy helping so many people really create meaningful and lasting change, which is important. This is not something that you do for just a minute and then you're done. This is a way of being, and it's easy to do when it makes you feel good. So how can people find out more about your transformation program? I know your books are all on Amazon. Tell us how they can find you.
Everything Nikki Sharp. It's my website, nikkisharp.com, Instagram, Nikki Sharp. And I would really encourage, I love hearing from people. And so if this conversation resonated with you, if you have a follow-up question where you're like, I need some extra help here, please reach out. Feel free to email me. It's nikki@nikkisharp.com. And I really just feel like, and I know you'll resonate with this, Dr. Nina, that you and I have gone through what we have in order to get to help other people. And it's such a blessing to be able to do that. And so I really always encourage people to reach out and share and share their experiences so that you and I can keep doing what we get to do best, which is helping.
Beautifully said. And it was just delightful to have you on the show and have you share your experience and your message of hope and your tidbits. I'm trying to think of a cute food way to say it, but I can't think you're bite-sized, but they're not bite-sized. They're all your helpful hints are just wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I love what you're doing and totally support your mission.
Thank you, Dr. Nina.
And that is our show for today. I am Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, your host of the Dr. Nina Show, Outsmart Emotional Eating. I am every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on LA Talk Radio. And you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get podcasts. Stay curious, not critical. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.